Good morning. I appreciate that prayer, and I appreciate the opportunity to come together with you this morning to study from God's Word. I asked Brother Evans in planning these series of lessons if I could speak on some things that deal with current matters and current topics and things that sometimes might be coming from matters that are going on in our society today, matters that are current and that address us, questions that may be raised. And so Friday evening, will the world end in 2012? And last evening, some current moral issues that we have to face as God's people. And in thinking along the lines of current matters that face us, I believe one matter that is very prevalent today is the concern that I have that we are letting God's Word slowly be lost in our lives. And so this morning, I want us to consider a lesson from 2 Kings chapter 22. If you'll turn with me there, we'll be reading several verses there together in just a moment. The story of how Josiah and others found the book of the law that had been lost in the temple of God. I believe a current issue that faces all brethren today, not just in this country, but around the world, is the challenge of keeping God's Word at the center of our lives by physically and literally reading it and studying it. Because we simply have many things going on in our lives and in our schedules and in our families where God's Word might slowly be pushed off to the side. I believe that there are some older brethren here that remember the days when the day was much simpler. We went to work, but when we came home, there just wasn't as much going on as there is today. And we had the time to spend with our family and to spend with God's Word. But today, in our culture, we have so much going on, so many places to go to, and if we have children, they have activities, and so we're running here and we're running there, and then there's work and there's school and after-school activities and hobbies, our own personal hobbies, and then we're trying to do things for our children, and pretty soon the day is gone and we just haven't spent any time with God's Word. Now, we have spent time with the internet and with our iPhones and other kinds of things, but maybe a whole day or a few days have gone by and we just haven't even considered the Word of God. One of my concerns is that what has happened in this story here in 2 Kings 22 may happen to us if we're not vigilant and we're not careful. We will lose the Word of God in the house of God by the people of God. And if there's something that I would like for you to take home with you this morning, it would be that statement right there. That if we're not careful, the Word of God will be lost by the people of God in the house of God. And so this morning our admonition is how that we can keep God's Word in our lives and in various aspects of our lives. Let's begin this morning by reading 2 Kings chapter 22, beginning in verse 8. Of course, this is the story of the young King Josiah, king of Judah, who wanted to bring God's people back to God and to the Word of God. And in the course of those events, in chapter 22, the beginning of the chapter, the temple had fallen in disrepair, and he wanted to make some repairs in the temple. And in the course of doing that, the Word of God was found. Let's start reading in 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 8. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of Jehovah. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king, that would be Josiah, and brought the king word again and said, Thy servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house, and they have delivered it into the hand of the workmen that have the oversight of the house of Jehovah. And Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Now this is the law of Moses. It had been lost. The temple had fallen in disrepair. The priests were not reading and teaching and studying the Word of God to the people. And the law, this scroll, had been put off into some side room and covered up and covered over, and it was lost. And as they're doing repairs, can you imagine maybe getting ready for a gospel meeting? We're going to have a work day down at the building. We're getting ready for the gospel meeting, and we come in, and the ladies are in the inside cleaning, and the guys are outside cutting the yard, and we're working on. All of a sudden, we find a Bible that, you know, we haven't been reading the Bible. We didn't know what the Bible was, but way back here behind the baptistry, there's a Bible, and it was all covered up. And we find this, and we begin to read it. It's similar to that. And so Shaphan delivers it to the king to be read in verse 11 now. And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Hicham the son of Shaphan and Achbor the son of Micaiah and Shaphan the scribe and Asaiah the king's servant, saying, Go ye, inquire of Jehovah for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of Jehovah that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all what is written concerning us. You see, what Josiah is talking about is that the kings prior to his reign, if you turn back to chapter 21 and verse 1 and look at Manasseh, for example, he was a very wicked king. And in his reign there was idolatry and child sacrifice. The kings, since the time of Hezekiah, have been wicked. And the temple is in need of urgent repair. And the people are not following the book of the law. And so in verse 12 and 13, when the words of the law are read, Josiah realizes we're not following God's word. God's word condemns idolatry in the book of Leviticus and in the book of Deuteronomy. And as he hears those words of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, he says, well, we're engaged in idolatry and other kinds of sins. And so that's why he says in verse 13, the wrath of Jehovah is kindled against us. Because part of the law that would have been read would have been, for example, Deuteronomy chapter 27 and 28, the curses and the blessings of the law. And God said that I'm going to vent out and give out my wrath upon those, and I'm going to punish those who do not follow my word. And so Josiah is hearing that part of the law, and he realizes that God is going to judge them and punish them. And so when this book of the law is found, it is read in the ears of the king, and we find in verse 11 that he rent his clothes. We're going to talk in just a moment about a humble attitude toward the word of God, a repentant attitude toward the word of God. And so the people read it, and we'll see that all of the people will hear it in a minute. There's repentance, there is true reform, there is rededication to God and His Word, and there is a return to the truth. Let's continue reading now in 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 14. So Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, and Achbor, and Shaphan, and Asaiah went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Harris, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter. And they communed with her. And she said unto them, she's speaking the word of God as a prophetess, Thus saith Jehovah, the God of Israel, Tell you the man that sent you unto me, Josiah. Thus saith Jehovah, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. Because they have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods. In other words, I don't lie. God is saying, I don't lie. I told you hundreds of years ago that this would happen, and I'm going to do it. I don't lie. I'm going to punish those who don't follow my word. And even those words that were recorded hundreds of years before the time of Josiah, recorded by the pen of Moses, the law of Moses, those words were still valid. They were still true. They were still accurate. They were still living. And so now God is going to bring those words to pass. Now, He had already done that. He'd already done that with the northern kingdom in 722 BC, and He's going to do it again with the Babylonian captivity if they don't turn around. So these words will stir up Josiah to make some reforms, much like Hezekiah before him. So verse 17, My wrath is kindled against this place, Jerusalem, the temple, and it shall not be quenched. But unto the king of Judah, who sent unto you to inquire of Jehovah, thus you shall say unto him, Thus saith Jehovah, the God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, verse 19, because thy heart was tender, verse 11, he rent his garments, he's repentant, because thy heart was tender, contrite, humble, thou didst humble thyself before Jehovah, when thou heardest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me. I also have heard thee, saith Jehovah. Therefore, behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. In other words, this destruction and this punishment would come later after the life of Josiah. He would not have to experience that because of his humble and repentant attitude. But it would come later, and of course we read about that at the end of 2 Kings, where the king Zedekiah, the last king of Judah, has to go into Babylonian captivity. Now look at chapter 23 and verse 1. The word of God is not just for the leadership, it's not just for the king, it's for all the people, it's for all of us. And so Josiah wanted all the people to have an understanding of the word of God. So what did he do? Chapter 23 and verse 1. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of Jehovah, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him. And the priests and all the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of Jehovah. How long do you think that would have taken? Well, we've got to get out for lunch, you see. I've got places I need to go. I've got things I need to do. There was a patience there to read and hear and study and a love for the Word of God. We're not watching the clock. We're not watching that type of thing. We haven't crammed our day so full that we don't have time to sit and listen to the Word of God. And so all the people hear all the words of the law. Verse 3, and the king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before Jehovah to walk after Jehovah and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to confirm the words of this covenant that were written in the book, and all the people stood to the covenant. Now, beginning in verse 4, which we won't take time to read, but beginning in verse 4, running all the way down through about verse 25, are the long list of reforms that are made. The homosexuals and the sodomites are removed from town. The child sacrifice is removed. The idolatry is removed. And those good things that should have been taking place that had been stopped, like the Passover, verse 21, the Passover is reinstituted and things like that. In verse 24, the wizards and those who spoke with the dead and the necromancers and those that were engaged in the occult, they were done away with and put away with. And those various abominations were put away. And so the people reform and rededicate and return to God. Now, what had happened was, chapter 22 and verse 8, I have found the book of the law. What had happened was, God's book, God's word, had been lost by God's people in the house of God. The word of God lost by the people of God in the house of God. Now you might ask yourself, how in the world could that happen? How in the world could that take place? You know how? Very similar in how it's taking place today. We just get so crowded with the things of this world, so busy with the things of this world, that God's Word just slowly gets pushed off to the side and lost. And so, as a parent myself, I'm very concerned about this. As a parent, as a grandparent, as a faithful member of the church, we should all be concerned about keeping God's Word at the center and focus of our lives, because one day we may wake up. We never thought it would happen. We never thought we would see the day where God's Word is lost. We wake up one day and it's just not in our lives. Or it's not in the lives of our children or our grandchildren. And so knowing this, Paul said the things written aforetime were written for our learning. What can we learn from this morning? I want us to look at several areas in which I believe slowly the Word of God is being lost in our lives. And as we study these things, then we can begin to see what we need to work on in our personal lives. I will be the first to admit that a lot of times, myself and Sherry, we have to sit down and we have to reassess our schedule. We have to do that. It's real with us. We have to sit down and say, okay, we've got just too much going on. We've got to say no to this and we've got to say no to that. And we provide things for our children, and Jesus on occasion went out to rest, and there's time for rest and relaxation, and there's time for resting our mind from the work of the day, and we might have a hobby or something like that. But we've got to put some things in perspective. We've got to keep a priority on God and His Word. And so sometimes even myself and Sherry, we have to sit down and say no to some things, make sure that we have God's Word in our lives. And if this morning you'll make that same assessment and you'll make that same examination and survey, and you see where you need to make some changes, if we will all humbly say, look, I've made some mistakes, I want to come back to this area, God will bless us. I want to look at some areas this morning. Number one, I am seeing a slow loss of Bible knowledge. We just don't know the Word of God like we used to. You know why? Because we're not reading it. Sue was telling me just yesterday how that she sat down with her
her daughter-in-law and just read through the Word of God. What a great thing. My first thought was, how many people just sit down and read anymore? We're busy with the TV, we're busy with the internet and other kinds of things. We just sit down and read.
Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, the Lord said to Hosea, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Not destroyed physically, destroyed spiritually. Sin is coming into our lives because we're not knowing the Word of God. Some are not reading. Seek out the book of the Lord and read Isaiah 34 verse 16. You see, give attention to reading 1 Timothy chapter 4 and 13. We're so busy here, so busy there, that we're not reading the Word of God. And so we're going to be destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You've heard the expression many times, how brethren used to be known as, you know, the walking Bible encyclopedia, and you could always ask a member of the church about where a Bible verse was, and they could tell you, and that was true, that happened. We're slowly getting away from that kind of thing. Some are not understanding and reading and learning. And understand what the will of the Lord is, Ephesians 5:17. And our young people, they might be getting some Bible. Well, I know they're getting the Bible here at the building. And they're getting some there, but not much more outside of that. And so we're thinking as a parent, well, the Sunday morning Bible class and the Wednesday night Bible class, that'll be enough. I don't believe that that'll be enough. That's a great start, but we have to be doing more even at home. Jesus said, you do err not knowing the Scriptures, Matthew 22:29. And so we wonder why errors are coming into our lives, and errors are coming into the Lord's church because the preacher and the elders and others just simply aren't reading and knowing the Word of God. I don't believe that that's the case here. And I believe that you're blessed with a good man in the pulpit and good leadership. And there is Bible being taught, but I see in other places where that's not the case. Some are not searching the Scriptures. John 5:39. You search the Scriptures. They examine the Scriptures daily. Turn with me to Acts 17, a very, very familiar passage with us. But I want you to notice something in Acts 17 that I believe would be a good admonition for us, and then we'll move along. We need to keep our schedules open. In Acts chapter 17, of course, you remember how the Bereans were more noble in that they searched the Scriptures. Have you ever noticed in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, when Paul was there, it says that they received the word with all readiness of mind, examining the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. Notice three things that they kept open. Number one, they had an open mind. With readiness of mind, they kept an open mind. They examined the Scriptures daily. They had an open Bible. And number three, it said daily. They had an open schedule. You've got to keep your schedule open. You've got to keep your mind open, and you've got to keep your Bible open. And then the next verse says that they were believers as a result of that. And so a lot of times we might have an attitude of wanting to learn and grow and read. We just have a crowded schedule. So daily they examined those Scriptures. And from a babe thou hast known the sacred writings in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Listen, your children need to have their own Bible. They need to be bringing their own Bible to services. Their Bibles need to be open in Bible class. Their Bibles need to be open during the sermon. We need to be searching and reading and studying. And they need to be active and attentive when that Bible is going on. And we'll say some more about this in our next lesson. But one of the things that I believe is slowly happening among our brethren is that we're having this situation where parents are saying, I'm bringing my kids to church. I'm bringing my kids to church. And then later they grow up. They either never become a Christian, or they become a Christian and then become unfaithful. And we wonder why that happened. And we keep saying, well, I brought them to church. I brought them to church. What went wrong? Well, that's what you did. You brought them to church. But once they got here, they weren't doing anything else. So that Bible's got to be open. That phone book needs to be open. And when we have our children with us and they're slowly being trained up, look, my little one is just like any little one. He wants to daydream and he wants to go off and do something else. And so we have to grab him and say, get back over here and get that phone book open. And he's got that down by now. He's 8. But when he was younger, he wanted to doodle and daydream and lay down and just do all kinds of things like that. But we're going to have that Bible open. We're going to have that phone book open. And we're going to engage our mind and be active in these things. And so we need to have an open Bible. Our children need to be bringing a Bible and having that open, you see. Otherwise, we just simply are not going to know those things that we need to know to be right with God. One of my sons just loves sports. And that's a great pastime and a great hobby. And can name all kinds of people from the college level and NFL, all kinds of sports, and who's doing this and who's doing that. And sometimes our children can name all kinds of individuals with regard to movies and music and sports, but can they give you the 12 apostles, and can they name the 10 plagues, and can they say the books of the Bible and those types of things that are important? Can they rehearse those basic Bible stories that are necessary to know the Word of God? And so just be mindful of that. There's nothing wrong with knowing those other kinds of things, but do they know the Word of God? That's what saves us. Receive with meekness that implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. And so I see, number one, a loss of Bible knowledge. And knowing this, let's do what we can and correct that and make sure we keep the Bible in our lives. Number two, I see a loss of Bible reverence. It's not just enough to read, but we have to read and obey. One way that we show our reverence for the Word of God is to go out and obey it. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 24 and verse 7. It's not just a matter of reading for reading's sake, but reading it, learning it, knowing it, and then going out and obeying it. In Exodus chapter 24, when Israel received the law in verse 7, and he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of all the people, and they said, "All that Jehovah hath spoken, we will do and be obedient." So you see, it's not enough to read, but read and obey. Some are not respecting the Word of God. It's just a book. And when the preacher opens up the Bible, you know, that's kind of what old people do. And I'm going to sit and do something else. I'm going to show some respect. This is the very Word of God, the all-powerful Word of God. And so notice again in 2 Kings 22:11, when the king heard these words, he wasn't daydreaming and sort of said, "Well, that's kind of an interesting little book you got reading there." He rent his clothes and he was distraught. And we're going to receive the wrath of God if we don't make some changes. In Nehemiah chapter 8, when they read the Word of God, everybody stood up and said amen. And it said there that they read from early morning until noonday. You see, we've got so much going on in our lives that if we're not careful, we will have this attitude of just keep it short and sweet. Can I get in and get something and get out to the more important things? And I'm all in favor of being conscious of our attention span. I'm not going to speak for 2 or 3 hours. I'm not going to speak from early morning till noonday. I don't guess I've ever had a sermon that long. And I'm conscious of our attention spans and being able to, how long we can sit and so forth. But I'm fearful that we're getting into a mentality of, because of our convenience, we just want everything short and sweet. Listen, the few times that I've been other places in the world, and especially to the Philippines, there will be our brethren will sit literally on a hard bench out in the hot, open, no air conditioning, and they'll just sit there for hours and study and meditate on the Word of God. And the first time I went over there, I usually preach about 45 minutes or so. Last night was a little bit longer. I got done preaching a lesson, about 45 minutes, and I got done. And we were kind of changing the class, the format, and so forth, and some brethren came up and said, "We've got a problem. You need to keep preaching. We need another lesson." That wasn't long enough. And I was like, wow. And so I went and got my briefcase and dug out another lesson and kept going. And they want to just keep going. And that was a surprise and something new. So I'm not just going to read it, but I'm going to obey it. And I'm going to respect it. And I'm going to listen to it. And I'm going to rightly divide it and read and study and make sure I'm not taking things out of context. And so I'm going to handle accurately. 2 Timothy 2:15, rightly divide the Word of God. Or the New American Standard, I believe, says handling accurately the Word of God. The Greek word literally means to cut a straight course. I'm not just going to use it in any way, but use it accurately, you see. And I'm going to grow. And I'm not going to twist the Scriptures, but use them accurately. Some are not accepting the inspiration of God's Word. I've heard that among some institutional churches of Christ, there are some who have their PhDs and who are teaching at a college level who are now saying certain aspects of the Bible are not the very Word of God. And so many are just giving up on the very inspiration of God's Word. Number three, I see a loss of Bible authority among brethren. Of course, this happened in the last century, along about the 1940s and 1950s, some brethren stopped asking for book, chapter, and verse on things involving the work and worship of the church, and so things have come in. whether it's the college or the orphan home or the fellowship hall or something along those lines. But even today, that's still going on. We need to be asking, what saith the Scripture, like Paul did in the book of Romans or Galatians? What does the Scripture say? Today, it's all about, can we have something that makes us feel good? Or can we have a story or something funny? Or can we have fun and games? We need to get back to, what does the Scripture say? What does the book, chapter, and verse say? But do you see how that's built on the previous point? If someone were to ask us, what does the Scripture say, but I haven't been reading my Bible, my answer would be, well, I don't know what the Scripture says. I haven't been reading. So one leads to the other. If I'm reading and studying and respecting the Word of God, and then the question is raised, what saith the Scripture, then we know where to turn to find that. Some are not asking or saying, the Scripture saith. That's the way Paul would often begin his point. Some are not doing all in the name of the Lord, which means to do things by His authority. We've stopped asking that. Now it's, does it bring the young people in? And does it get bigger crowds? It's not the question, do we have Bible authority for this? It's more along the lines of, do we have the money to spend on this, to bring people in, and if it's fun and games and entertainment, let's go for it. No, we need to be asking, do we have Bible authority? Some are not accepting and applying the truth. Turn with me to Acts 13. A lot of times, folks will hear a message or read a message, and they'll say, well, that applies to RJ and his wife, or that applies to Dennis and his wife. It doesn't apply to me, or some of the other brethren here. It doesn't apply to me. And so we're not accepting a Bible message and applying it to me personally. We just think, well, that's for the next person down the pew. I think of the Old Testament Jews in Acts chapter 13 and verse 15, when the Apostle Paul was preaching there. With regard, Acts chapter 13 and verse 27, Acts 13, 27. Paul was preaching in Antioch, and he said, for they that dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, that's Jesus, nor the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled them by condemning him. The Old Testament scriptures were read every Sabbath, but the Jews did not apply those things to themselves. They did not apply, for example, Isaiah 53. They didn't read that carefully and see that Jesus fulfilled all of that. Micah 5:2, that the Messiah was born in Bethlehem. They knew Jesus was born in Bethlehem. They didn't make the application of these things, but they read it every Sabbath. They ended up condemning Jesus and hanging him on the cross because they would not accept that and apply that to their situation. Much of that same thing is being done today. We see another area, not only a loss of Bible knowledge and reverence and authority, but I also see a slow loss of Bible preaching and teaching today. Now, I would hasten to say that that is not the case here. But it is becoming the case in other situations where the local preacher and the Bible class teachers and other kinds of things just simply are not filling their time with the Word of God. Some are not expounding and explaining the Scriptures as Jesus did to the two on the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24. The Bible class is about I think and I feel, and the Bible class teacher might start with a verse and then the next 45 minutes is just kind of what we think and what we feel. And brother, I just want to tell you about something that happened to me last week, and that takes up about 10 minutes, and then we go on to something else. And there's nothing wrong with illustration and that type of thing. But we're not getting good Bible classes from the children on up. And I'm all for, I've taught young people before in young classes, and it's there's nothing wrong with having things in there that apply the Bible lesson, but I've known of cases where the local church, there was a division among some of the ladies in the Bible class teaching program because there was a rival about how to decorate rooms. And they were decorating rooms, and they were dividing over that, and getting in a fight over that, and that needs to be secondary. There's nothing wrong with applying some things and having visual aids, and we know that young minds need some things to look at, but we've got to be a Bible class. We put that on our sign. It needs to be Bible-based, and the focus needs to be on the Bible. We need to begin there. Do you remember when Philip preached to the eunuch in Acts 8? It says, beginning with this Scripture. Now what we do is we begin with a joke, and then we kind of just run with that. And we stand in the pulpit, and we begin with a nice, cute story, and we just sort of fill the whole time with that, and we may sprinkle in a verse here or there, but we need to be Bible preaching, Bible teaching people. We need to reason from the Scriptures, Acts 17, 2 and 11. Paul didn't go to Thessalonica there and then later to Athens and engage in storytelling and jokes and stand-up comedy. He reasoned from the Scriptures. We're seeing more and more of that. Now, there are different preaching styles. My style is different, no doubt, than Brother Evans, and his style is different from other gospel preachers. And we understand there's a little bit of difference in style, and no doubt that was the case between Barnabas and Paul, and Peter preached a little differently than maybe Apollos did, and we understand that. But what we're talking about here is a dramatic shift, not just a slight style change, but a dramatic shift away from the Scriptures to simply stand-up comedy and entertainment. A loss of Bible preaching and teaching also shows up in that we're not well-versed in the Scriptures. We're spending our week, some gospel preachers are spending their week doing everything but reading their Bible. The old-timers just would read the Scripture and pore over the Scripture. They were well-versed like Apollos. He was mighty in the Scriptures. But today we're slowly seeing a shift away from that. When Paul left the elders at Ephesus there, he commended God's Word to them. That's the foundation of our life. And then, last of all, and the lesson is yours, I believe that we're seeing a loss of Bible sharing. And that, what I mean by that is taking the gospel and giving it to others in what we call personal evangelism. If you stop and think about it, is the Bible just for us? Well, of course not. It's for Gonzales. And so we've got to get the seed out of the bag. Do you remember Luke chapter 8, the parable of the sower, and the Word of God is like the seed? You know what? You've got to get it out of the bag. And this church building is like a big old bag of seed. And we come, and we study, and we learn, and we talk about the seed, and we give the seed to each other, and we kind of shuffle it around in the bag, and then we go home, and we don't give it to anybody. The seed just stays in the bag. And we come back next Wednesday night, and we talk about the seed some more. That seed's got to get out there to hit that good and honest heart. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more in the next lesson. I want to encourage all of us to try to work to get the seed out of the bag so that this congregation, we're going to talk about the church ahead. I want the church at Gonzales to be here down the road in the future. And the way that that's going to happen is we've got to get the seed out of the bag and folks have to be converted. We'll talk about that some more later. But we've got to get the seed out of the bag. You know what? At home, I've got a big old bag of Kentucky 31. That's the common seed that we throw out up there. I got a big old bag of it. And you know what? Every week I say I'm going to get some time to go throw that out on the bare spot. But stuff comes up, and I never get it out of the bag. It just sits there in the garage. And you know what? The mice are eating it now. I'm just pretty much feeding them every week. And so I say, well, I'm going to get home, and I've got a nice sunny day, and I know there's a spring rain coming. I'm going to get that seed out. But then something comes up, and I don't get it out of the bag. You've got to get the seed out of the bag. And we can make all kinds of excuses as to why we can't do this and why we shouldn't do that, but we've got to get it out. Some are not taking God's Word to the lost. This idea of going to all the world is still for us today, Matthew 28 and Mark 16. Some are not inviting others to hear the Word of God. Did you invite someone to the gospel meeting? Did you invite someone to the gospel meeting? And I realize that we might be stepping on our toes, and I include myself. We have a gospel meeting coming up at the end of May. I need to be, just as much as anybody, inviting someone to hear Brother Mons, who's going to be preaching with us. You remember the Samaritan woman there at the well? After Jesus talked with her, she went back into town and said, come see a man who told me all things ever I did. And they came in, and the last part of the chapter says that they believed. They believe, not because of her word, but because they came and heard him for themselves. So we've got to talk with those, invite them, and have them come here, Brother Evans and others, so that they can hear that saving gospel message. Some are not holding fast the word of God and passing it on to others. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13 and chapter 2 and verse 2, to pass on the word of God to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. That's why and how we will have a church ahead. We're passing it on to the next generation. We're passing the torch to the next generation. We've got to do that. You see, the Word of God is not just for us. It's for the lost out in this community. And it's for other younger Christians that we need to be passing the torch to so that the church continue on. So I believe that there's a loss of Bible sharing. We just have so much going on. In some cases, it's fear. In some cases, we're fearful of what they might say or what they might do. But you know what? I think a lot of it is we're just too busy. We're just too busy. We've got to step back and make that time to pass out the tract, pass out the bulletin. I'm going to talk about that later invite, do what we can to talk with others.
Well,
as we come to the close of our lesson this morning, how can we assess this situation? Come back with me now to 2 Kings chapter 22. Come back to 2 Kings 22. If we're not careful, the Word of God will be lost by the people of God in the house of God. We will have a loss of Bible knowledge. We're just not reading our Bibles anymore, or as much as we should. There will be a loss of Bible reverence, a loss of Bible authority, a loss of Bible preaching and teaching, and a loss of Bible sharing or personal evangelism. What can we do now at the close of this lesson to sort of bring this all together? Well, I believe it's a big shame that that happened. Can you imagine? What a black eye on the people of God. The very thing that they were to be known for. Back in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 4, Moses says, "What great nation has a word from God like you have?" That really was one of the identifying marks of God's people, the Word of God. And now we've gotten to the point where it's lost somewhere in some side room of a broken down temple. What a black mark and eye on the people of God. And you're thinking, well, how could that have happened? Well, neglect. And if you read the previous chapters, they were engaged in what they wanted to do in their busy lives, just like we have busy lives. Now look, we're not sacrificing children, and we're not bowing down to idols, and we're not engaged in witchcraft and that type of thing like some of them were. But we have busy lives and busy schedules, and through neglect or misuse or ignorance or maybe just outright rebellion, I don't want to come and hear the Word of God. The Word of God is being lost slowly in our lives. So as parents, as grandparents, as concerned brethren, as concerned young people, there's some young people here today, get a Bible. That's what's going to save you. That Word of God is what's going to be implanted and save your souls. Don't worry about what the world around you is doing. You get that Bible and you read that. And I'm all in favor of some of the newer ways to do that. If you want to download and get that Word of God on your iPhone, that's great. Or your tablet, I think that's great. Get the Bible in your lives. So, what happened? Now, in 2 Kings chapter 22, they start to read and hear this word, and in chapter 23, they gather the people together, verses 1 through 3. They have that Word of God read to everybody, and then in verse 4, they start doing away with these things that have been taking them away from the Word of God. They get those things out of their lives. They get God's Word back into their lives, including the religious practices of the Passover. There was a great religious revival. And you know what? They searched God's house, and when they were searching, they found the Word of God. Let me ask you this. Do you need to go home and do some soul searching? Do we need to do some searching here? I believe we do. And like I said earlier, sometimes my wife and I will sit down and we'll reassess some things. What that is personal self-examination. We don't have it just all figured out where we don't have to do any changes. We have to make changes just like any family. And do some searching and do some examination and do some revival. And I'm not using that in some denominational sense where it's all shouting and sort of external emotion, but true reviving of a love for God's Word and taking the time to have that in our lives. Not only that, but when they were doing the Lord's business, that's when they were brought back to the Word of God. What were they doing? They were repairing the temple so that they could get that back into service of God's worship. When you're busy doing the Lord's business, God's Word will come back into your lives. When we're busy doing other things, then God's Word is going to stay on the fringe. And then they purged worldliness from their lives. Beginning in verse 4, they got rid of the idols, and then later those the Sodomites and Chemosh and all these false gods, verse 13, and they took down the altars in the high places, verse 15, and there's just all kinds of things that they did away with that they purged their lives from. Do we need to purge our lives from a few things? It may just simply be things that are eating up our time. It may not necessarily be immoral things like we talked about last night. But just things that just so much of it, we need to just purge and just get rid of it. Get rid of a lot of it that is just simply taken away. get that Bible open. Not just for us. The Bible is not just for us. But from a babe, you have known the sacred writing. So our little boys, our little girls, they're going to have their Bible. They're going to bring that Bible. They're going to have that Bible open. They're going to learn where those books of the Bible are. And
we know as well as anyone that when they're real little, are they actually reading those words? They're not reading those words. But what they're doing is they're getting in the habit of bringing that Bible, opening that Bible, turning to those scriptures. And you know what? By second, third grade, they're actually reading the Word. Now, they're not doing that when they're a little toddler, but they're building that habit. That's what we're talking about. When they open up that psalm book, and they're just a little tight, and they open up that psalm book, are they actually reading the words? No. But pretty soon they will be. Pretty soon they will be. And you're building that habit. And so that's what we need to do. Otherwise, it's just going to slowly be lost to the things of this world.
I appreciate your time and attention this morning. And I want us to think about the importance of the Word of God being lost by the people of God in the house of God, and then how they got it back. They got it back through religious revival. They got it back through searching God's house, through doing the Lord's business, and through purging worldliness from their lives. And if we need to do any of that, let's be humble and compliant and obedient and make those changes. When things are pointed out to me that I need to change, I don't really like that at first. And we all resist that type of thing. But when we sit down and honestly think about it, we say, you know, I can do better in this area. And we go make those changes, then we see the blessings come into our life. I appreciate your time and attention this morning.